Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Time now for some of your feedback on our recent programs.
On Friday, we talked about the controversial firing of renowned conductor Benjamin Zander. The New England Conservatory's leadership dismissed Zander after it found out that he'd knowingly hired a registered sex offender to work as a videographer with the youth orchestra.
Most listeners who called into the Friday show supported Zander, but an argument between the defenders and detractors has been raging all weekend at RadioBoston.org. P. Yang22 writes, "As a parent, I'm more concerned about the welfare of my child than Mr. Zander's genius. Someone who would use such poor judgment shouldn't have the power that Zander had. I applaud NEC and feel more secure now."
For his part, Zander has defended his actions, saying in a statement that the videographer's crimes are well in the past. But listener Brick Dauntless rejects that. He writes, "People who've achieved great success in one field often assume their abilities translate into other fields when they rarely do. Zander is not trained to determine whether a convicted child rapist will reoffend."
Now, in his 45 years at New England Conservatory, Zander has attracted many admirers who continue to support him. Among them is Desan, who wrote this to us. "The loss of Benjamin Zander is enormous for our city, and his firing is an outrageous overreaction and a misplacement of blame. I feel sorry for the children in the orchestra that they are going to lose an unparalleled source of inspiration."
Imani, too, thinks people shouldn't be so quick to judge. "The fundamental issue here is whether there is any substantive evidence that the videographer has behaved inappropriately since his prison release. That's really the only issue that should matter. If the answer to those questions is no, then Benjamin Zander should be immediately reinstated with significant apologies."
Now, on a much more pleasant note, many of you were delighted to hear WBUR reporter Kurt Nickisch and his story about the inaugural ringing of an 1801 Paul Revere bell at the Old South Meeting House. The belfry at the Old South Meeting House has been silent since the Great Boston Fire of 1876 nearly destroyed the building. But James Storo, yes, a descendant of the Storo of Storo Drive, recently paid to have the bell installed.
Argus Advocate writes, "This is wonderful. Thank you to James Storo and all responsible for the joy that so many Bostonians and visitors from near and far alike will share and carry away in memory when they hear this bell."
Now, we did refer to the bell as being made of cast iron, to which listener Bill responded, "Are we sure about that?"
And Kurt was good enough to reply in the comments, "Bill, you're right to notice it's a bronze bell. Paul Revere opened his foundry in 1788 at the corner of Lynn and Foster Streets in the North End. At first, the foundry produced window weights, grates, and stove parts. By 1792, Revere went on to make cannons and his first church bell."
Kurt, thanks for the correction, and Bill, thank you for catching that. Listeners, you can find all the ways to keep us honest and correct at RadioBoston.org.